For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter, and a warm hello to viewers in Slovenia who've made it number 38 on our list of all-time views by jurisdiction, followed by a cold glare at alarmists who don't want to know that Antarctic ice seems to be rebounding, almost as if they wanted us all to drown for our sins. To their credit, Climate Compass admits that, quote, Antarctic ice growth surprises climate experts, end quote. But an AFP fact check, which, to borrow a line from Captain Blood, states the purpose for which it was put there, not the function it actually performed, offered the headline, quote, Antarctica's brief gain in ice mass fuels climate denial, end quote, thus ridiculing anyone who claims the expansion of Antarctic ice is evidence that Antarctic ice is expanding. Even Fox, which is held by some to be right-wing, reassured readers, quote, scientists warn, however, that this shift doesn't mean the climate crisis is over. The gains were linked to unusual precipitation patterns, which may be temporary, end quote. So, climate change makes the ice melt, except when it makes it grow, in which case, it melts anyway. And you can just imagine what they'd say if that ice hit a record low. But instead, the Climate Cosmos piece started, quote, in a remarkable shift that has climate experts talking, Antarctic sea ice has reached a record high in September 2024, covering an astonishing 19.4 million square kilometers, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center, NSIDC. This surge outpaced all previous measurements and has forced the scientific community to revisit assumptions about ice loss in a warming world, end quote. Or not, since they actually cling to all their assumptions about ice loss in a warming world, from it being a warming world, to humans being to blame, to the ice loss. In the newsletter, we also note that Europeans seem to have turned against Tesla as Elon Musk cozied up to Donald Trump. It may be because of Musk's role in slashing US bureaucracy, although that seems strange given how overgoverned Europe is and how little the European Union manages to do with such a large administrative apparatus. Maybe they just don't like his tone. And there are arguments to be made on that point, though it didn't seem to bother them until he became a high-profile opponent of red tape. But suddenly, to hear the EU press tell it, all bureaucracy is good, and any attempt to tame Leviathan will spell the death of science. Which, if true, seems to us to mean that science has been overrated. Ah, and then from the works better if you have some first department, we report from first-hand observation that Ontario liquor stores, which have purged American bourbon to punish teetotaling US President Donald Trump for existing or something, do have space on their shelves for carbon-neutral certified rum from Nicaragua. Buy it, and you get 80 proof, but we suspect no other kind. Carbon, matey. Then, from the You Can Say Anything on Climate file, MSN runs a piece, quote, 11 countries where extreme heat is making tourism impossible, end quote, that features Pakistan, Bangladesh, and the UAE, which nobody told tourists were attractive to begin with. And it also claims Greece, Italy, and Spain are out, though apparently nobody told the tourists at all, since the all-time record for tourist visits to Greece at 35.9 million was set in, oops, 2024. Oh, and the same piece says that, thanks to recent climate change, Morocco is now in the Sahara. Also, on the predictable topic of heat waves, now that it finally warmed up a bit, Chris Martz has a first day of meteorological summer post and a chart showing when US states set their June temperature records. He warns that, quote, heat wave hysteria is just around the corner, end quote, but adds, quote, 32 states set their all-time June monthly high temperature records before 1960. Six were set in 1934, 1936, and 2012 alone, while five were set each in 1919, 1931, and 1994, end quote. But don't look for those stats in the legacy media. Now, in the interest of fair play and useful debate, we want to emphasize that it's not fair to judge a movement by its most unreasonable and obnoxious advocates. At least, it's not fair to do so, provided that others in the movement distance themselves from the various successes. But if they don't, in the face of news-like objects such as, quote, scientists warn California major cities could disappear by 2050, end quote, a claim in a bad need of a bath, you are entitled to hold your nose. Years ago, in the Wall Street Journal, James Taranto used the phrase political hygiene to describe the need for parties and movements to watch out for what's going on within their own ranks. For instance, they really ought to recoil when many fellow Greens, including Greta Thunberg, side with Hamas. Or when they tolerate bad science, from false claims of a documented increase in extreme weather to misinformation about what proxy records say about the past. For instance, that one about how the planet is now at its hottest in 125,000 years, despite ample geological and biological proxy data showing that the Holocene climatic optimum was obviously warmer. Or that business where ancient human artifacts are emerging from retreating glaciers. So clearly, the glaciers were not there when the artifacts were deposited. It's also a legitimate indictment of the climate alarmist movement that they're so willing to go along with unsound sensationalism. For instance, yet another story about how climate change is driving coffee to extinction right after the largest crop in world history. Or that piece we cited earlier, trying to scare readers with, quote, San Diego is experiencing the fastest increase with sea levels rising by 2.6 millimeters per year, end quote. Right. Which is about an inch a decade. So, with 2050 now only 25 years off, they're seriously hollering that 2.5 inches of sea level rise will sink a big American city, when in fact, obviously, it won't even affect recreational activity on its beaches. So, doesn't anyone on that side know, or don't they care? In the newsletter, we then note sadly that few people nowadays find themselves reminded of Canadian music icon Stompin' Tom Connors for any reason. But here at CDN, being right in tune with cultural trends that are a half century old or more, we were reminded of his 1973 song The Consumer about supposed bargains where we, quote, save a lot of money spending money we don't got, end quote, when the green energy transition came calling. Specifically, Bloomberg Green just rationalized that, quote, the venture capital model honed and perfected in Silicon Valley is proving a bad fit for the clean tech industry, and investors should instead accept that they'll need to commit much bigger sums of money for longer periods of time, end quote. Right. The financial system that floated duds like Apple and Microsoft is way too dumb to see the golden possibility of green hydrogen, so we have to give them hundreds of trillions we don't got to save a planet. No, really, quote, more than $200 trillion needs to be invested in the transition to net zero over the next 3 decades to avoid catastrophic temperature rises, Bloomberg NEF estimates. Spending last year, meanwhile, was just over $2 trillion, end quote. So, they want to sink 7 times the whole US economy over the next 30 years or so in a bunch of heavy machinery that won't fix the weather. But it's all fine because some banker claims that we'll save a bunch of money spending money we don't got. And another thing. An alert viewer complains to us regarding some of the ample evidence that we, among others, have presented that more CO2 helps plants of all kinds to grow, that, quote, my alarmist sister finally accepted CO2 makes stuff grow better, so then her argument was that it was of a lower quality, end quote. Which recalled, to us at least, a long-ago complaint in National Review, back in March of 1987, in fact, that, quote, CBS reports that though the unemployment rate is down, many people aren't happy with the jobs they're getting. Next, we expect CBS to report that, although nobody's starving, that food tastes lousy, end quote. And indeed, as Earth.com just put it, quote, rising carbon dioxide makes crops grow bigger but less nutritious, end quote. Dang. If only farmers could adjust nutrient levels in crops through fertilizer application. This business about CO2 making plants less healthy is where the herd of independent minds is now stampeding, including SciTech Daily with, quote, increasing levels of CO2 result in less nutritious crops, end quote, and Hopkins Bloomberg Public Health with, quote, less nutritious crops, another result of rising CO2. Rising carbon levels are eroding nutritional values of staple crops, threatening millions with hidden hunger, end quote. Hidden hunger? What's that? The kind where you feel full but you're secretly empty? And there was this paper in Science Daily in 2022 that agreed that plants don't know what's good for them. The press release for it said, quote, while increased carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere encourage plant growth, they also reduce the nutritional value of plants, which can have a larger impact on nutrition and food safety worldwide. Researchers have discovered a new way plants are adapting to the changing climate, information that can be used to help plants grow strong while also maintaining their nutritional value, end quote. But somebody's ignorance is growing large and unhealthy here, because, look, plants have been adapting for tens of millions of years to this changing climate, specifically the one in which temperature and CO2 have declined from the conditions under which they evolved. And one of the ways they've adapted is that some have evolved this much more carbon-efficient C4 photosynthesis. But apparently we went to believe that now, if CO2 inches back up, those plants that had much more CO2 earlier on and did fine are at a loss and they stupidly grow better worse. So much for evolution. Also, where's the evidence that this greater growth of plants, including food crops, in the last 4 decades has actually increased malnutrition? So much for data. In the newsletter, speaking of data, we then continue our Look It Up series with changes in unusually hot days in the United States, which of course has a lot of long-term weather records, which makes it a good place to study how climate change is making everything hotter. For instance, NOAA defines unusually hot weather as a day when the temperature rises above the 95th percentile for that location between 1948 and 2023. And if you go to the Environmental Protection Agency's own data, you get this map, where the red up arrows show where unusually hot days are becoming more common, blue arrows are down for less common, and open circles mean no change. And you'll observe that there's a lot of variety, but also that there are way more blue arrows than red ones. That's right. From 1948 to 2023, unusually hot weather became less common in most places, especially east of the Rockies. You won't find that data in the legacy media, but you will if you know where to look it up. Oh, and speaking of ice, with a hat tip to the Daily Skeptic, we learned of a recent news item on Sky News in the UK, which was mostly about the bad Russians and the bad Chinese making moves on the Arctic, and since the bad USA can no longer be relied upon, Britannia will have once again to rule the waves. Nelson, call your office. And Hudson, and Newton. Since along the way, the reporter presented a chart headline, quote, Arctic sea ice melting 12% per decade, end quote, and said the Arctic continent, yes, Arctic continent, is warming 3.5 times faster than the global average, which will, quote, push up sea levels around Britain's coastline, end quote. Now, journalists calling the Arctic a continent when it's an ocean is like a clock striking 13. It calls into question all that has gone before and all that comes after, not least here because of the crucial difference between melting land and sea ice when it comes to rising sea levels. Then there's the business about saying a chart shows a 12% per decade loss of sea ice, when in fact it shows no change in the past 15 years. Otherwise, a splendid article. And finally, from the co2science.org archive, if you want to help ensure the survival of a rare tree, you should give it a magnificent umbrella-like shape and a really cool name like Dragon's Blood. Unfortunately for Croton urucurana, it only grows in one place in the world, and that's a single island off the coast of Yemen, a country ravaged by a long civil war. But CO2 knows no borders, and in 2012, two experiments showed that dragon's blood tree seedlings exposed to an extra 300 parts per million of CO2 grew on average 23.5% bigger. Which won't stop the war, but might help save the species. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know ice when I see it.